Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. Honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett. It's up.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside an all-new edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. I write and cover your Ole Miss Rebels for the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. Join us. We'd love to have you because, guys, Ole Miss is back in the win column. Now, pretty mixed results on Saturday offensively, but that third quarter was really encouraging. And today on Talk of Champions, here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top, Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs today, we're talking about three big things for Ole Miss football on this Monday, October 28, 2024. Three things that are big. Big in the world of Ole Miss athletics. Not just football, because I had to touch on some basketball. I know it's football season, the final late season push for Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss football Rebels. But basketball wiped the floor with Illinois. A traditional college basketball blue blood ranked in the preseason, I think, in the 20s. A comparable team, and Ole Miss blew the doors off of them. So I want to touch on that too. That'll be our third big thing because Malik Dia, if you've been watching Talk of Champions, we're big Malik Dia fans here. He's got next level potential, really test the NBA draft waters. We've got to talk about what Ole Miss now has personnel wise that won't allow them this year, like they did last year, to fade, especially when the SEC schedule rolls around. Ole Miss won 20 games for the first time since 2018-19 last year. And yet, face planted and didn't make the NCAA tournament. Didn't even accept a bid to the NIT, which, good. Done with that. But now, here and now, it's football. Ole Miss is 6-2. 2-2 in the SEC. And I'll be honest with you. I wasn't particularly impressed, writ large, with the offense. But the third quarter was very encouraging. Now, you might be wondering, Ben, where were you on Saturday? Zach Berry, my teammate at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, he stepped in for me because, folks, when I say this weekend was the most dad mode of dad mode weekends for your friendly neighborhood Ginger Shrek, we had soccer. Gracie did. Not we. I just sat there and took her. We had to be in Memphis so Gracie could play two soccer games on Saturday morning. Then there was a rain delay, despite no rain in the forecast. So thanks to Huey's in Collierville, me and my buddy Witt got to sit there and watch the game, watch that first half where Ole Miss, again, as they'd been doing for the first 7 weeks, the minute they got off script, it was a mess. Ole Miss is always going to be really good on script because that's the full force of Lane Kiffin and his offensive structure, his staff, how he's assembled things. They prepare in the week for those first 24 to 30 plays, and they pick and choose. And it always looks great, as it should. Adjustments have been a problem, and that's where we could talk about Charlie Weiss again. But look, we're focusing on the positive today because that third quarter was that encouraging to me. But I was sitting at Huey's in Collierville watching as Henry Parrish again had an inefficient day, running the football, 15 carries, a less than 3 yards per carry average. The interior of the offensive line, despite, quote, changes over the bye week, looked the exact same. Reese McIntyre, Julius Boileau, Nate Colepo, and they struggled. I thought it was pretty damning that on 4th and 3 from Ole Miss or from the Oklahoma going in 20 for Ole Miss. 4th and 3. A direct snap to J.J. Pegues, because really, that's the only efficient running play they have. If they're not going to play Ulysses Bentley, which at this point, what do you say? What do you do? I mean, the question has been asked. Ulysses isn't playing for whatever reason. We've talked about it on here. Reported over the summer, 25 pounds overweight, allegedly. That doesn't seem like cause to leave him in the doghouse for a full season, especially if your running game isn't doing what you need it to do to give you confidence that the rest of the way you can take care of business and get it done. But I'm sitting there watching it with my friend Witt, and then with no rain in the forecast, it poured down on us. And after that, I was planning to come home, record the post-game show, because I watched all of it. And then I decided to go to Ripley because my youngest daughter was playing in a softball tournament. Those Lady Reds. If you see a Lady Red out there, you give them a high five, tell them they're the best, and Spirit Ben told you to do it. The Lady Reds played from 8 in the morning till midnight in Ripley. I love my daughter, but that was a lot. I like Ripley. It was just a lot. And they lost in the championship game. So a little bit of humble pie that they had to eat, I guess. Maybe got a little too big for their britches. 5 rings in 6 tournaments, now 5-7. Maybe we got to eat some of that humble pie and move forward and know that we can't just expect things to be handed to us. But they played their butts off. And my Riley Buggertons, the cutest little softball player you ever did see. She's making consistent contact now. We've been working on opened her stance up, fixed her hands. Shout out to my guy, Jess Owen. He helped me fix her hands. And now she's making contact, man. Straight to the ball, fixed her load. That's the joyful part, not the 8 to midnight. That's tough. And my wife, Emily, you're wonderful. You're a trooper. But that's why I wasn't here. That's why Zach stepped in for me after LSU. And I saw it, and Zach did a great job covering it. So I don't want to go back and just recap the game. I want to talk about the big things that stood out. 3 big things for Monday. The first one is this Ole Miss defense and those 10 sacks, which are the second most in Ole Miss football history. That in and of itself is an impressive feat. Just by itself, 10 sacks, second most single game sacks in Ole Miss history. But it's even more impressive when you look at how you're now number 19 ranked Rebels. They dropped a spot in the AP poll, which, before we move on here, the AP poll doesn't matter. I don't pay attention to it. I have to say, you know, I cover Ole Miss for you guys, so I got to tell you what happened. But it doesn't really matter as far as Ole Miss's playoff position and all those kind of things. Maybe it's a glimpse into where national people or where the national conversation is with Ole Miss. But as far as his resume, that number 19 ranking dropping a spot this week despite a win over Oklahoma doesn't mean much. And I think Ari Wasserman, national On3 college football recruiting analyst, has his thumb on the pulse better than anybody as far as balancing out, figuring out, putting together the field. And Ole Miss is in now his next 4 out, which they weren't in any of his projections last week in the bye fall and the loss to LSU. LSU loses to Texas A&M. Old friend Marcel Reed looks like a player now. He looks like a player, and he brought Texas A&M back. And I was sitting at that softball field, and a buddy of mine who was trying to figure out the chaotic nature of the SEC, and if I'm wrong, please tell me in the YouTube comments, but the way I look at it is, I wanted Texas A&M to beat LSU because I want as many 6-2 teams in the SEC that we can get here in order for Ole Miss to win out and be able to get that real chance to get into the college football playoff. Because with a loss, it was over. 24% chance, a little less than 30% chance now because they beat Oklahoma. So it's, a long shot field goal, but you're driving. You still got time on the clock. Go get it done. Texas A&M beating LSU drops LSU to that second loss. And then you look at the remaining schedule for Texas A&M, and there are gettable games, as in Texas could get Texas A&M. I think Tennessee plays Texas A&M. So I was just trying to do it in my head. All right, what's the best route for all these teams to get 6-2? And I decided that Texas A&M winning was what needed to happen. Some disagree with that. I'm curious to hear what you think. So tell me in the YouTube comments, because making sense of the math, it's hard, but the AP ranking doesn't matter. What does matter is that people who understand the selection process that are having those conversations with those decision makers, like an Ari, like an Andy Staples, J.D. Pickle. They're now including Ole Miss again because it's just about the result. I thought Zach made a good point on the postgame. And again, thank you to my friend for stepping in, my teammate at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Survived in advance. That's what it was. I think the world was falling apart when it's 14-10 and they were trailing at halftime because the offense looked the same. Inefficient. No attacking the middle of the field. And then they started to. But the 10 sacks for the Ole Miss defense. I've been trying to figure out if this is the best Ole Miss defensive line in the modern Ole Miss era. I'm pretty positive it is, but I came up, started this job in 2008. And that 2008-09 collection with Jarrell Poe and Greg Hardy and Marcus Tillman and Kentrell Lockett, Parade Jerry was on the 2008 team. He was a first rounder, if you remember, right before Michael Orr. He was the pick before, was Parade Jerry. Same kind of deal. NFL players galore and didn't need blitzes. Because Ole Miss, I mean, what was the long-running joke for Ole Miss football? Can so-and-so, or so-and-so commits, right? Four-star offensive lineman. Yeah, but can he play linebacker? Because Ole Miss hasn't had that kind of good linebacker play. So that's the only comparison, point of comparison for me. Not the Marcus Haynes group, not Rob. Robert Kamdichie was more, even when he left here, he was pretty much the same player as he was when he got here. Undisciplined, but oozing with potential and raw ability. Yeah, he could get back there and wreak havoc on an offensive line, especially the interior, but could he get to the quarterback? And when he got there, bring them down. This group is bringing them down and without any blitzes. And the 2008-09 team did it without blitzes, but that was because they didn't really have that help in the back end outside of their secondary. Mike Hilton was great. Oh, that was 2012 or whatever. But you know what I'm saying? Kendrick Lewis was in that backfield. He could blitz. He was a converted wide receiver. Point is, they didn't have the back end strength, especially at linebacker, because the defensive back talent is comparable. But at that second level, linebacker, they didn't have it. Not what Ole Miss has now. And not the depth of options that Ole Miss has. Because we're going to talk about Prince Lumanviano. We're going to talk about Jared Ivey. Talk about Walter Nolan. Let's hope he's okay. Because he's the key piece to all of this. He commands all attention. So yeah, Jared Ivey and Prince Lee, y'all get to celebrate. Walter's over there having three dudes lay on top of him, and he's the one that gave you the one-on-one. But that's what happened. Ole Miss got those 10 sacks without any blitzes, and that's with linebackers like Chris Poupal, who's an all-league caliber player. T.J. Daugherty's coming on. He's playing better. Kari Coleman's had a great year. Kyrie Coleman, he's had a great year. They have linebacker depth. They have something that that group didn't have. So that makes me be a little bit more sympathetic to that 2008-09 group. And still, what else can you say, especially after Oklahoma? Because this team would not be where it is. One more loss at least, if not for the quality of play of this defense, especially its defensive line. And that is not any better embodied than with Suntarin Perkins in his second-year breakout. Last year, five-star plus prospect, the elite of the elite recruits. Only a handful every year are five-star plus prospects on three. He was one of them. Top 30 player. Five-star. Best player in Mississippi. Of course, there was a question about the weight. There's a question about if he had a true position. All of these things. And he is a superstar. An absolute superstar. Yeah, he's still a little undersized. He was everywhere. 11 tackles, 8 solos, a career high, 5 tackles for loss. And the 4 sacks that he piled up are the most by an Ole Miss Rebel since Cassius Ware against Georgia in 1993. We got to point to Prince Lumanviano. Comes back from injury. He's tallied at least 1 sack in 3 straight games. Jared Ivey has been one of Ole Miss's highest graded defenders this year, if not the highest graded when he's in there. He's got a sack total now up to 6. He's tied with Dwayne Dotson now for 9th all-time at Ole Miss. And they're doing it by winning one-on-ones. And the reason why Ole Miss is 6-2 is not because the offense has figured it out. They're still figuring things out. But man, that third quarter was really encouraging. We'll get there. It's because this defense, especially this defensive line, has been every bit as good. In a season where I think if you ask any Ole Miss fan, has Ole Miss lived up to expectations? Even the most homer of homer would say, no, no. This defensive line absolutely has. And took over against Oklahoma. They held Oklahoma, to, not just the defensive line, the Ole Miss defense writ large, held Oklahoma to 23 yards in the third quarter. I'm so glad that Ole Miss rediscovered its tight ends and the middle of the field in that third quarter, and it opened up the offense, and they actually looked more like themselves. But that defense, we've been talking about it since August, right here on Talk of Champions. Go back on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Philly Devon 3, and you'll see it yourself. Even when things started to go sideways, here on Talk of Champions, we said, man, this offense, something's wrong, something's up. It looks broken. But they got a championship-caliber defense, and that defense is not fading. If anything, it's getting more confident, more scary, with guys like Santarin Perkins, who we've been waiting on, but now he's showing up and showing out. Superstar. Think about it. Princely Umanmielen had been missing for 2 weeks, and they didn't skip a beat. If I told you before the year started, Ole Miss is going to be without Princely Umanmielen or be limited with a limited Princely Umanmielen, God, who's going to start that edge spot? Santarin's a little undersized. A little light in the britches. No, he's holding up great, and they're moving him all around formation, and he's using his athleticism. So the first big thing today, on this October 28, 2024 edition of Talk of Champions, this Ole Miss defensive line, if you really are trying to cling to a hope, how can Ole Miss win out? That's what they got to do to make the playoff. How can they win out? This defensive line, this defense, got to be more opportunistic. Jared Ivey forced that fumble, though, one of the best plays you'll see an Ole Miss Rebel make all year. He beat his man, then destroyed Jackson Arnold and recovered his own fumble. Our guy, J.I., is having a hell of a career year. Just so happens to be coming in his money year. So money year, J.I., for my OM Spirit subscribers, I know one in particular who will feel this. Money year, J.I., I'd put him up against pretty much anybody right now because this guy is terrorizing opposing offensive lines. And yet, Oklahoma's offensive line was bad. Ranked 132nd out of 133 FBS teams in sacks allowed. But Ole Miss made them look like that bad offensive line. It had been a story today, a different story, a different conversation entirely right now. Had Ole Miss not gotten 9 sacks on Jackson Arnold and 10 all around in total. It's so impressive because most of the year, ask any Ole Miss fan, like I was saying, has Ole Miss lived up to expectations? No. This defense has. This defensive line has. So while it's easy, like with 50 negative comments or 50 positive comments and one negative comment, we tend to, as human beings, to focus on that negative comment. Oh, am I really a loudmouth, stupid idiot? Yes. Do I talk too much? Yes. But also, we give more credence, more weight to the negative than the positive. And the positive here is this defense is doing this thing. That is the hope right now. And then for the second thing, that Ole Miss has figured some things out. Maybe they were forced to. Trey Harris was out. Now, if you read my war room on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and Fleet of On 3, he was initially listed as questionable, but I thought that, or I wrote that, it was more of a gamesmanship kind of thing. I don't know if it's the Achilles or the groin, but it's a serious injury. And he was on the wrong side of questionable at best. So it felt like some gamesmanship going into that game, and we'd been talking about this. If he didn't play, what would the offense then look like? Because Trey Harris has essentially been the entire passing game. That Kentucky loss that gets uglier and uglier and uglier as the year goes on. 50 plays, 15 forced balls to Trey Harris because they couldn't figure out anything else to do. So what was it going to look like? Turns out it's exactly what this Ole Miss offense needed. Not just the players, not just the coaches either. Fans as well. Because I do think that sometimes, and there's a lot of validity to it, but also, fans can see with their eyes. Lane Kiffin will tell you. football isn't as complicated as you're brought up to believe it is. All right? Anybody that tells you that football is like, you know, trying to cure cancer, there it's a defensive position. All right? Because it's really not that complicated. And all these defenses have been doing to Ole Miss was bracketing coverage to Trey Harris, forcing everything in the middle of the field because they weren't utilizing it and they can't run in the middle of the field. Ole Miss tried to and got stuffed because they don't have competency or consistent competency in their interior. A more than fair and valid complaint, even though the fans were saying, oh, it's not that simple. Yes, it was. You had forgotten the middle of the field, Ole Miss offensive staff. Former coaches out there who want to dog fans, dude. Like, we have eyes. We just because we didn't play it or coach it at the highest level doesn't mean you can't understand it. That'd be like saying, okay, well, it's when you argued about politics with your friends. There is no place of authority over your friend. Yeah, neither of you really know what's going on necessarily, but also convictions are convictions. Passions are passions. We like what we like. We love what we love. And if you love something, you learn as much as you can about it so that you could talk about it and understand it at a level to where you can enjoy it even more. So the fans were right because it is that simple. And Lane will tell you football isn't as complicated as some make it out to be. And they weren't utilizing the middle of the field. Maybe it was because Jackson Dart wasn't getting through his progressions. He was too worried about the pressure in his face. Any number of reasons why it wasn't happening, it wasn't happening. And it happened against Oklahoma. Was it by force? Yes. Trey Harris was not there. The ultimate safety valve was not there. Jordan Watkins had a good day. Saw a little bit more Juice Wells. Got to get him in the backfield. Get him the ball like he did Elijah Moore in 2020, Lane. See, that's my biggest complaint. All right? It's not personal. I like Charlie Weiss. I've said all of this before. I don't want to say that again because I like them. This is not personal. It's just business. I think what's been my biggest complaint is the offense has been what's held Ole Miss back this year. Lane Kiffin was hired. Even the most casual fan knew that, oh, he's the offensive guy. So if the offense, it doesn't matter who holds the title. If the offense is what's holding Ole Miss back, who does that lay at the feet of? Lane Kiffin. Just like if the Georgia defense were shit, or crap, the blame would fall ultimately to Kirby Smart. But Kirby Smart would go, this isn't working. It's my defense first. I'm taking over the play calling duties. Doesn't mean you're throwing anybody under the bus. You're just saying, I own it. It's mine. I got to fix it because the buck stops here. That's what I really wanted to see more than anything. It's for Lane to not throw Charlie Weiss under the bus because they do write up really creative and brilliant scripts, but it's when they get off script. It's the adjustments in game. I wanted Lane to come out and say, look, guys, the offense just hasn't been what we wanted it to be or expected it to be. It ultimately falls to me. This is ultimately my offense. It's not my defense. I hired Pete Golding for that. This is my offense. I'm going to take over primary play calling duties, but it has nothing to do with anyone's per se but me. I want to have this fate of this team, this last chance, last dance team, in my hands, because it's my team. That didn't happen, but at least you saw against Oklahoma, you did see offensive line changes, which Jeremy James was dressed out, so come on. Caleb Warren was dressed out. Come on. Jaden Williams was scratched. Maybe back this week. I would guess that he's not back till Georgia, but that's purely based on stuff I've heard. Do not take it to the bank. But Ole Miss found the middle of the field. Now, first half was pretty much the same stuff. Second half, Caden Priestcorn, Daquan Wright. Remember, Daquan Wright is a starting caliber tight end from the ACC at Virginia Tech where he started games. They combined for 8 catches, 10 targets, 125 receiving yards. Was that because Trey wasn't the first, second, and third option for a Jackson Dart because he's worried about the ghosts that are filling behind him to tackle him, to bring him down in 2 seconds? Maybe. Or they just figured it out. They schemed them open. You had Daquan Wright mostly utilizing flats, if I remember correctly, but Caden Priestcorn was killing the middle of the field, and both of them together averaged 15.6 yards per reception against an Oklahoma defense that can beat you. It's like Kentucky, very much like Kentucky. Kentucky has lost every game since it beat Ole Miss. Am I crazy in thinking that if that game ends up being the one that costs them the college football playoff opportunity, the berth in the college football playoff, that's worth some fourth and 25, right? No, in the moment it's not. But now, that's got to be, it will go down if that is what causes them to miss the playoff. It will go down as the worst, one of the, if not the worst, I say the worst loss in modern history for the significance of it. We talk about fourth and 25 because of the flukiness of it, but also the significance of it. Because with how it played out, if that crazy we are Ole Miss play doesn't happen, Ole Miss is in the playoff. It makes its way into the playoff. Or at least the SEC championship game and then goes to whatever. I can't remember exactly. The landscape has changed. But I remember that Ole Miss would have been in the national championship discussion with that. Here, there was no fluky play. Well, you could say, well, Trey Harris knocked it out and the ball bounced into the Kentucky tight end's hands for the touchdown. Yeah, that's fluky. But it should have never gotten there. Berrien Brown pushed off. That's one play. That's fluky. Nah. Still, nah. He scored 17 points against them. And they have lost every game since, including to Auburn over the weekend. That is a terrible loss. Terrible, terrible loss. And it's inexcusable. All they can do now, however, is win the whole dang thing. Win out. Go to the playoff. Make it in. And the only way they get there is through utilization of two next-level potential tight ends.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Callie. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. Can you feel it? The holiday season is here. It's in the air. Uncommon Goods is your one-stop shop for incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your shopping list. Never panic about finding the perfect gift again, because Uncommon Goods scours the globe for the remarkable. My daughters, for example, love mix and match games. Find My Behind, a hilarious twist on a classic game in under $20, has already brought joy to our home. I want the same for you. The Garretts have caught the pickleball itch. The indoor-outdoor light-up set from Uncommon Goods has been perfect for fun, spirited game nights at home. But it's not just for kids, and even better, you're supporting local artists and small independent businesses when you support Uncommon Goods. They even give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. Shopping legitimately doesn't get any better than this. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. That's uncommongoods.com/TOC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer with Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Let's talk about something that was founded by guys who know a little something about hard work. 5-9 Whiskey. The crew over at Troll Company decided to whip up a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. So, Ole Miss fan, meet 5-9. Two oil-filled guys figured why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? I mean, who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey, right? This stuff is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They went all in. And what about that name? 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., but they're wanting you to forget about that 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat and toll. They work hard, and now they're pouring the same energy into their whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Seriously, help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. So cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's 59whiskey.com. F-I-V-E-N-I-N-E-whiskey.com. And use the promo code CHAMPIONS20. That's CHAMPIONS20 for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up. It's 59 Whiskey, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Kenny Yeboah, the clear-cut number two option to Elijah Moore in 2020. Harrison Bryant at FAU was a Mackey Award finalist. And yet this year, with two every bit as capable or next-level consideration players for the NFL, professional ranks, they've disappeared. And then again, you look back at the LSU game, and Caden was wide open for 30 yards, no defender 30 yards within shouting distance of him, maybe a walk-in touchdown, and Ole Miss seals that game. And Dart throws it into double, triple coverage. Yes, of course, some of it is player. And, you know, not making your progressions. Maybe the wrong route was run. The communication was iffy. All these things. At the end of the day, just like when it's your offense and it's not performing and it lays, the blame then lays at your feet, Lane. If the tight ends aren't getting the ball, you can use Charlie Weiss as an avatar. But it's your fault. This is your offense because that's who you are. And now we saw Ole Miss get these tight ends involved. Can they do it if Trey Harris comes back? Can they keep them involved? Because Priestcorn had 71 yards over the middle alone. And that is something all fans were talking about. Where is the middle of the field? Where are the seam attacks? And that's not being, oh, shut up, know your role. It's more complicated than that. We're curing cancer here. This was, hey, there's a lot of space there in the middle, and you're just force-feeding the sidelines or force-feeding downfield passes. That's why Ole Miss fans complained about Ulysses Bentley the fourth not getting carries. And Henry Parrish still is getting most of the carries and still doing nothing with them. So there are some gripes, but at least today we can go, oh, good. They rediscovered that they have two next-level tight ends, and they didn't need to have Trey Harris miss completely to figure it out, but if that's what it required, then so be it. Jackson Dart had one of his very best games. He was 22 of 31, I think, 301 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, tied Eli Manning and Bo Wallace for the most wins, 24, starting Ole Miss quarterback in the modern era. Jackson Dart and Bo Wallace are the only Ole Miss signal callers in history to eclipse 10,000 yards of total offense. And Dart now has 12 career 300-yard passing games. This is the stuff we expected. This is the stuff that we knew Ole Miss was capable of. And no, it wasn't fans being dumb, stupid fans or, you know, dumb, stupid media people. Ginger Shrek over here, you know, you don't really know what you're talking about. It's not that complicated. The middle of the field had been open, was open, and Ole Miss rediscovered it. So, can they keep that ball rolling this week? Because I'll be honest, as encouraging as that third quarter was, as good as this defense has been, man, I have been covering Ole Miss for 20 years, and I've been around Ole Miss football and been in those stands for all 38 years of my existence. I am used to Fayetteville at Arkansas being an absolute house of horrors for Ole Miss. Like, I wake up in cold sweat still to this day after Laquan got hurt and Ole Miss and Bo and them went to Arkansas in that rain. Oh, my. Ugh. It's never historically been easy for Ole Miss. And I know y'all said y'all are different. Y'all have changed the direction of the program. Well, you lost to Kentucky and they haven't beaten another team since in the SEC, including Auburn. LSU was supposed to be 45-16. Producer Flip did the math. We've been over it. Check out the previous editions of Talk of Champions and you'll see what I'm talking about. Instead, it was a 29-26 loss in overtime. And you have no margin for error. And the SEC is wide open. It has never been more there for the picking for Ole Miss. And yet they have cut off their arm, one of their arms, and have left themselves with no margin for error here. They have to win out. They have to beat Georgia. And even with Oklahoma winning, getting back on the right track, survive in advance, that was exactly the right way to phrase it from Zach Berry on the TOC Talk of Champions postgame. It's not enough. It wasn't enough for me to not, being the Ole Miss guy that's been around it forever, to go, I don't know, man, that Arkansas at Arkansas looks more like a pick 'em to me. In this wide-open SEC where anybody can beat anybody, if Ole Miss doesn't go win at Arkansas, which historically has been a tough thing, it's over for them unless they can – I mean, they're going to have some luck their way. It's not over completely, but they'll have to get some luck again. They're back in this conversation because the SEC is so wide open, because Texas and Alabama and Georgia all have losses. You want as many 6-2 teams as possible, I think, and Ole Miss is right there with them. And then if you go beat Georgia – yeah, you're right back in the thick of everything. Just should have never gotten to this point. And yet here you are. But at least now you are showing progress. Because for the first two quarters, defensively, championship caliber. Didn't need any blitzes to get the second most single game sacks, 10, in Ole Miss football history. Championship caliber. Yeah, in the back end, they need to be a little bit more opportunistic. Coverage issues. Yes. That's picking nits. It's the offense. And the offense for the first two quarters looked the exact same. And I said, all right, that's it. This is just who they are. 6-2 under Eli with losses to Memphis and Texas Tech felt better than this. But at least this defense gives me reassurance or the confidence to say they're going to be in any game they play, every game they play. But can the offense score enough? Can they be efficient? Still at red zone problems. Still can't run the ball. But they rediscover the middle of the field. And that tells me that they see the issues too. We are not crazy people. And I don't care if any coach or former coach or any player or former player says, we're not crazy to say, well, it's more complicated than that. No, the middle of the field was wide open. And you proved it because 71 yards alone for Caden Prescott came over the middle of the field. Play to the space, man. Home run balls are fun. You know what's more fun? Winning. And that was a winning combination. Now, can you bring Trey Harrison there and then utilize all of these weapons? If Henry Parrish ain't it, and you just decided that Ulysses Bentley ain't it either, give the ball to Juice Wells. And they tried on a fluky, slow-developing play on fourth down, which was, that's like trying to prove that you're smarter than everyone else. You know, that didn't make any sense. It was slow-developing on fourth down, and of course, Oklahoma with a good defense like Kentucky's. No, shitty offense, but good defense. Of course they stuffed you. That reeked of desperation. I'm talking about what you did with Elijah Moore with Juice Wells. Put him, like, motion him into the backfield and give him the ball. Hand him the ball off. Treat him like Percy Harvin. That's what you did with Elijah Moore. Because he's not getting enough touches. He only had 3 catches for 39 yards, and he actually should have had a bomb touchdown, but Jackson Dart underthrew him in that zone coverage. Now, he threw it to the right spot. But if he'd have let him, it's a touchdown. But that's picking this because Jackson had his best game. And he had his best game because the tight ends are back. The middle of the field is back. Ole Miss, Arkansas this weekend. Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time, ESPN at Arkansas. For me, straight pick 'em. I had no doubt that Ole Miss was not going to cover 18.5 against Oklahoma. I don't know what the line got bet down to or anything, but 18.5 was no shot. I don't know what the line is, but I ain't touching it with a 10-foot pole because for me, this is the toss-up of toss-up games for Ole Miss. They are a better team. Defensively, you know what they're going to do. They're championship caliber. Offensively, was the third quarter a peek into the future of what's to come? Or was it just a nice little story for 1 week? Like Ulysses Bentley was. when he came in and averaged 5 yards per carry. And then the next time he got an opportunity against Oklahoma, he got 5 carries for 5 yards with a crappy offensive line. And I know this offensive line is better. They have talent. That's the crazy thing. It's just the stubbornness to not try anything new. What is the definition of insanity? And then lastly, the third big thing on this Monday, Malik Dia. I wrote about it on the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, Affiliative on 3. He looked every bit the NBA draft prospect Ole Miss thought he was when they signed him in the offseason. Ole Miss had the number 14 transfer class. And Dia is previously of Belmont and Vanderbilt. He tested the NBA draft waters, almost left. The feedback he got was that he needed to come back in, do some refinements, some simplifying some things. But he's a three-level scorer. Now, there's a question about his rebounding capability. But I'm perfectly content in the new age of basketball to give up, sacrifice some rebounding from him if he's going to give you 18 points on 7 of 8 from the floor and 3 of 3 from 3 is a big. This is what they did not have. This is what we talked about going into the year. The rim protection, they lost their, you know, 2 7-footers. John Bowl, 7'2" freshman, McDonald's All-American, he gives them that, a little bit of that, but he's a freshman. He played great against Illinois, too. They sacrificed some of the rim protection, but what they made up for it with is offensive upside that they actually did not have and buried them last year. Malik Diaz, perfect example of this. I mean, they raced out to a 20-9 lead on Illinois. 20-9. Like it was nothing. Juju Murray, who, like we've been talking about, played off the ball. Perfect. Matthew Morrell, he was playing the three. If he can't dominate the ball, make that guy a rover, a roamer. Get him all on the perimeter, attacking, moving. You remember how Marshall used to just run around all the time? Now he's doing it as a two. That's what they want him to do. Dre Davis, man, they love that kid. He's a dog. So, yeah, you're not going to be that smothering defensive team, possibly. I think Ole Miss fans are okay with that because it doesn't start with defense. Yes, Ole Miss is going to be a good defensive team or a strong enough defensive team, you think. But the offensive upside is insane. And Malik Dia looks like that NBA player. That looks like that player that went and tried the NBA draft. Got some good feedback. Decided to come back. Mikael Brown-Jones, he'll get the rebounds. He looks great as a three-level scorer. The greatest accomplishment in Ole Miss basketball history is one single Sweet 16 appearance. One. It sounds fantastical or like a homer spitting nonsense on this Monday. But yes, this team is capable of matching the greatest achievement in Ole Miss history. Do I think they will? History says they won't, but that's Ole Miss nonsense. That didn't look like a typical Ole Miss team offensively. Offensively. Because they have offensive options in the front court that can stretch defenses and pull them out to the perimeter that they have not had. They didn't have it under Kermit. Kermit went with rigidness, man. He doubled down. He went and got Theo Akuba and all those other guys that were just straight paint statues. This team is positionless, truly positionless. That was the knock on Kermit, which pretty much led to him being relieved of his duties as Ole Miss head coach. The failure to adapt in that way. Positionless basketball is where it's all going to. And Chris Beard tried with his first roster, but it's his first roster. He said, trust me, we're building quickly, and if Sunday's any indication, they're ready. They're here. November 4th is when they open against Long Island, and I know that Ole Miss hasn't always been the basketball school. Historically, you can forgive Ole Miss fans because they haven't had a lot to root about. Only 9 NCAA tournament appearances in the 100-plus year history of Ole Miss basketball. This team, this might be the best team that you've seen Ole Miss assemble. Certainly since 2013, but that team with Marshall, Murph, Reggie, those are two bigs. Murph can't shoot a three. Reggie couldn't shoot a three. Malik Dia can. Mikael Brown-Jones can. Dre Davis is a positionless forward. Matthew Morrell is playing essentially a wing forward type of role. there's so much to be encouraged about with this basketball team that I would encourage you, Ole Miss fan, and you showed it on Sunday. 7,000 showed up. ESPN, stupid corporations doing what they do. Originally a 1 p.m. tip because Ole Miss cares about the people wanting to go to church. And what happens? They flex it to 11 a.m. And I'm going to tell you now, Ole Miss was worried about it. They were. They're like, my, I mean, who's going to show 7,000 people for an exhibition? Now, Illinois is a blue blood, and it was for charity and all these things. And, yeah, we could have some complaints about some holes, especially in the student section. Nah. That was a great crowd. Ole Miss fans show up. Ole Miss fans show up not just for winners. They show up when you give them true hope and encouraging signs. That was a flashing light, guys. That Sunday Illinois blowout, 91-74, that's a flashing light. This could be a special group. Now, they do have their issues. Rim protection. Is it going to be enough? We could go on and on. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds. We've been going long enough here. But do I think this team's upside is Sweet 16? Yeah. And if you don't believe me, ask Mikael Brown-Jones. I simply said, hey, man, do you see an NCAA tournament team when you look out there? He went, yeah. What I see is a team that can go win the NCAA tournament. Now, every player says this. But does every Ole Miss team go into an exhibition against a traditional college basketball blue blood and beat the brakes off of them? Different times, I think. And Chris Beard has put together a roster that no matter what happens the rest of the way with football, no matter what happens with baseball, they deserve your attention. You're giving it to them. Keep it up, man. Because I think that Ole Miss football is going to be fine. I don't think they're going to win out. Maybe they end up going to like the Cap One Bowl. Hopefully they win out and make the playoff. I think they have the capability and a championship caliber defense. But if they don't, it's not like you shut down and wait for baseball. It's not like it's the NIT is all you can hope for. It's not like you got to just pray Ole Miss can get to 20 wins and get a break or two. This team is ready to go win with about 7 or 8 guys that are legitimate professional prospects. And if you don't believe me, I'll list them off. Malik Dia, Matthew Morrell, Sean Padula, Jamin Brakefield, Dre Davis, Mikael Brown-Jones, Javon Benson. Eduardo Klofke's a long way away, so I wouldn't put him in there. Juju Murray's got a next-level shooting ability. He's not a next-level defender yet. T.J. Caldwell's got some next-level ability, but he's not there yet. You got to do it in college first. All of those guys, they got about 8 or 9 guys safely that have legitimate next-level ability. What is one thing Ole Miss has never really had? Professional history to speak of. Terrence Davis got a little bit of a run, and that's been about it lately. Jamarian Sharp, I think, is in the G League with the Mavericks, so let's go. But he's more Western Kentucky Hilltopper than he was Ole Miss Rebel. These guys right here could be the group that launches Chris Beard's Ole Miss, whatever it becomes. Whatever the story we tell of Chris Beard at Ole Miss, I think this is the team that launches it. And I think they're good enough to match the greatest achievement in Ole Miss history, which for every other program of any kind of reputation, that's one Sweet 16 appearance is pathetic. Now for Ole Miss, it's like that's the promised land. An Elite Eight sounds fantastical. I'm not going to say anything about no Elite Eight or Final Four or winning the thing like Mikael Brown-Jones. I'm glad he's got the confidence. And it looks like his confidence in many ways is justified. I have my doubts. I have no doubt that this team, healthy, playing up to its ability, the positionless nature of the roster, the blend of old and new, 10 newcomers with 6 returning players, 10 seniors. This is a roster built to win. I fully expect them to get into the tournament. If they don't, just like if Ole Miss doesn't win out and make the playoff, that is considered a failure. We said that before the year in football. Ole Miss doesn't make the NCAA tournament. That would be a failure for this team. And do not lower your expectations from that. Chris Beard would probably tell you the exact same thing to a man. And I think they have that ability, not just to make it, but to match the greatest achievement in Ole Miss basketball history. Thank you again for coming in to an all-new edition of Talk of Champions. The Riverland Roofing Studios, a little roof up top. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. And I've been Garrett, your friendly neighborhood Ginger Shrek. write and talk about your Ole Miss Rebels at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, and Affiliate of On 3. We'll be back on Wednesday, Thursday? I can't remember. I'll have a new one in a day or so. And if you got questions or anything, you can shoot me an email, ben.garrett@on3.com. ben.garrett@on3.com. Send me a voice recording if you want to get on a show, if you got questions, or join me at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, to Affiliate of On 3. I answer questions all day, every day there, and I want y'all a part of this as much as you want to be a part of this. So join me, Spirit, YouTube, comment section, wherever you want to drop some knowledge, drop it, and I'll get you on the show. Thank you so much again for joining me today. Be good to each other. If you're the praying type, keep my twin brother Stephen in your prayers. He is in Africa serving. The gate is small, the road is narrow, and only a few find it. My man's on the road. So pray for him and keep him in your thoughts. I love him to death. I'm so proud to be his twin. And I'm so thankful to you for giving me an opportunity to just talk about this stuff every single day. I'll see you soon, Wednesday, I think. Until then, take care.